Blog Talk Radio.
This is Chaplain Rudy Lopez coming to you from the Tabernacle Ministry in sunny Las Vegas, Nevada, on the Tabernacle Christian Broadcasting Network, TCB, taking care of business, God's business.
This is the Tabernacle Christian Broadcast Network, TCB.
Blog Talk Radio.
The Tabernacle presents a Beyond the Podium production, The Monday Press. Blessed Monday evening, brothers and sisters in the Lord. The first workday of the week for most is over. Perhaps the alarm didn't ring loud enough. The coffee didn't percolate fast enough. The traffic was backed up. Road rage was on the street. But another Monday workday is O-V-E-R, over. Now it's time for another dose of the Holy Ghost. Keep on pressing towards that prize in Christ. Press towards that mark. Resist the devil and press. The Monday Press.
The Monday Press this evening will be aired at 6:30. I apologize for the inconvenience. So please call back in at 6:30 p.m. Thank you.
Listen here! The Tabernacle presents a Beyond the Podium production, The Monday Press. Blessed Monday evening, brothers and sisters in the Lord. The first workday of the week for most is over. Perhaps the alarm didn't ring loud enough. The coffee didn't percolate fast enough. The traffic was backed up. Road rage was on the street. But another Monday workday is O-V-E-R, over. Now it's time for another dose of the Holy Ghost. Keep on pressing towards that prize in Christ. Press towards that mark. Resist the devil and press. The Monday Press.
Welcome back to the new Monday Press. 1 week later, Sister Fanny Faith is following up on the story about the two foxes that destroyed the Vine Express Freeway. One lady believed that the other used her song to audition would negatively impact her chances of becoming a soloist in the church choir. Sister Fanny Faith greets the guys in the studio, Even Steven and Odd Gourmet, as well as the listening audience from the corner church where she will interview the ladies and their pastor, the Right Reverend. Sister Faith describes her entry into the church and subsequently engages in an ultimately not so prosperous interview.
Hi, guys. This is Fanny Faith here at the on-ramp to the True Vine Expressway. The ramp itself is a small road to gain access to the narrow True Vine Expressway. No wonder it is difficult to find. Today is a stark contrast to last week's visit to this same location where helicopters and screaming car horns contributed to a traffic nightmare that caused many to arrive late to work and other appointments last week. Let's go back 1 week ago and revisit the True Vine Expressway last Monday morning when two women apparently jumped out of their cars and confronted each other, which subsequently resulted in traffic becoming gridlocked for hours. They were having a heated argument about, believe it or not, who sings best in the church choir.
You don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know what you're singing about.
I do know what I'm singing about. You
been said that God works in mysterious ways. Well, guess what? Just last night, I received a call from the Right Reverend of the Corner Church, who explained that he listened to last week's news story featuring his parishioners' disagreement and the tie-up on Blog Talk Radio. The Right Reverend invited me over to see how all things work together for good. Now let's hear what the rest of the story is. I have arrived at the Corner Church. It is a large edifice with flowing steps leading to several large double doors, which I will assume is the main entryway. I am making my way up this eternal stairway to get inside. I am now opening one of the great hinge doors leading into the church.
Hey, Odd, it seems they need to bless that creaking door.
You mean they need to bless all that creaking door. There are interior doors that lead to the main sanctuary. Let's have a look inside.
Blessed door for door number two.
Guys, creaking doors. Notwithstanding, we are very fortunate to get this exclusive story out to our listeners.
Sorry, you're right, Fanny. What a story.
I am now opening the door and... What an echo! Do it again, Fanny!
What again, Odd?
The music, Fanny! The music!
Even, Odd, just ahead of me now, seated in the front row, nearest the altar, are the Right Reverend and our two ladies.
Hee Foxy!
Seated with the Reverend. Good morning. I am so happy to meet you, Mr. Right Reverend.
Oh, you doesn't have to call me Mr. My name is the Right Reverend Preacher the Third. Now, you can call me Right, or you can call me Reb, or you can call me Reverend Right, or you can call me Pastor, or you can call me Parson, or you can call me Preacher Man, or you can call me Ordained, or you can call me Ordained Minister, or you can call me Elder, or you can call me Shepherd, or you can call me Clergy, or you can call me Clergyman, but you doesn't have to call me Mister. Now, can I get that amen?
Don't forget priest, father, and vicar.
Ooh, we on TV?
Blog Talk Cable Radio, ma'am.
Duh, she told you that last week.
Now, ladies, I have been informed that something good has come out of the big argument last week.
Yeah, they made bail.
Okay, Mr. Right Reverend.
Oh, you doesn't have to call me Mr.
Ladies, do either of you have anything to say?
Well,
Can I talk?
As I was saying, our good Reverend here called us into his office and said we should have waited for the auditions to end before we argued and blocked the vine, arguing on the radio, and then we went to jail. But it was a blessing because I got out before Cassandra did.
That's not my name.
Whatever.
Yeah, then she waited for me in the attic behind the church. You see these stitches?
Yeah, but I want to tell you, prayer changes things. Ladies, if you allow it to.
Amen, Reverend Right Reverend. You know, I prayed, and I realized I needed a change in my life, and I had to fix a few things in my own life myself, you know. I heard that God helps those who helps themselves, unlike her who helped herself to my song.
Daughters, remember our forgiveness.
Oh, yeah. My heart was changed.
You had a change of heart?
Yeah. Right after I shut Cassandra's big mouth.
That's not my name!
Anyway,
because I couldn't have no peace of mind because of her. It's better that I shut it than God to, right?
Oh, you doesn't have to call me right.
So I was being merciful when I tuned her up in that church alley. You see, I wanted to make sure that she keeps my name out of her mouth so I could have peace in the valley again. Then I ran to church right away and prayed. Amen.
Ladies, why don't we tell Fanny Faith about the big blessing you both received?
Oh, yeah, that's right. The right reverend said, after Cassandra's mouth heals, we are both going to get a solo part in the church choir. It's not to say who sings the best, you know what I'm saying? We already know who does that, even without music, Cassandra. But it's better to have at least one good singer than to have just bad ones.
Well, you heard it right here at the Corner Church, where a wrong situation was made right.
You doesn't have to call me right!
Even odd.
It's great to know that the ladies made bail and were allowed to return to their church. Did they have to pay any fines for their Vine Express fiasco last week?
Why, yes, they did. Even each of the ladies were fined $500. I did mention this to the Right Reverend, and he later revealed that the church paid all fines, but each of the ladies were asked to pay a daunting 10% of their income to the church as something called tithes for the rest of their lives. Can you imagine?
Wow, that's a life sentence. Maybe they should have just stood in jail for a few months and keep the tithes for themselves.
I guess you said it the first time. Fanny, this is odd. I think that those ladies are like little foxes and are still eating away at each other, you know, on the inside, secretly.
Often, bitterness issues may take some time to get over, odd.
Yes, this is even, and I think it's time that we get over this story.
You can get over it, even.
But this is real news. Oh, you haven't learned what that is yet, have you?
Even, why did I hear music whenever Fanny spoke to us?
Oh, you may need to see a doctor.
Hello, welcome back. Hello, welcome back. Hello, welcome back to Monday Press. This is Pastor Kreiner of the National Church of the Tabernacle. We're going to be talking about all things working together for good, and many of you know that comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 28, and we know that all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. That is the NIV translation. Let's go before the throne of grace in prayer today, okay? Lord Jesus, sometimes it's hard for me to accept that you can't take the tattered shreds of my life and make something new out of them that I know will bring you glory. But Lord Jesus, I want to trust and believe that your word is true. I want you to increase my faith, Lord Jesus, as I listen to your word and take it in, Lord, that I walk by faith and not by sight. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Talking about all things. Of course, we know that the good things that happen come from God. And we've all heard it said that the bad things are from the devil. But this verse says that all things work together for good. All things? Even trials? Even tribulations? The loss of a loved one? Jail? Separation, calamity, suffering? You mean to tell me that all of these things work together for a Christian's good? How can that be? What good could come from our hurt? What good could come from our pain, our suffering? We've all heard it said,
that we suffer the consequences of our actions, and sometimes these actions are painful realizations that hurt all around us, and you say that they're going to work together for good. This means the final outcome of our situation is going to work together for our good, listeners. Suffering teaches us the truth about our mortality and the frailty of our lives. It lets us know that sometimes we have no control over our own circumstances. It usually forces us to look towards God for help and support. What else it does, it gives us a hope of eternal home in heaven without any suffering. Isn't that a beautiful thought? No more pain, no more sorrow. One day this will all be over. The Bible tells us best why we suffer. It paraphrases it in Psalms 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. God corrects his children that goes astray. Amen. And it causes us to pay attention to the road that we're going. Praise the Lord. It further says in Psalms 119 and verse 71, it was good for me to be afflicted, so that I might learn your decrees. We need to be taught. We need to understand that getting on the wrong road, getting on the wrong path, steers us away from Jesus and could cause us much harm. God has to do that because that's what a loving father does. Hebrews 12 and 11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. As we grow, we live and learn in the Lord. Experience, praise God, and let patience have its perfect work the way the Word of God tells us. Amen, so that we can grow and be spiritually mature in Christ Jesus. I would like to read to you a testimony of an individual that proves that all things work together for the good. Now, what I'm getting ready to read to you, it is really loaded with a lot of hardship. It's loaded with a lot of trials. This person endured innumerable suffering. Some of the things that this person endured, I don't think many of us would have even tolerated half of it. But for whatever reason, this person kept the faith and they ventured on. When he was 7 years old, his family was forced out of their home on a legal technicality. He had to work to help support them. At the age of 9, his mother died. At 22, he lost his job as the store clerk. He wanted to go to law school, but his education just wasn't good enough. At the age of 23, he went in debt and became a partner in a small store business. At the age of 66, the business partner that he had, he died, leaving him with a huge debt that took years to repay. At the age of 28, after courting a girl for 4 years, he asked her to marry him. You're probably saying, who is this person? Why did this person seem to love problems or pain? She told him no. At 37, on his third try, he was elected to Congress. But 2 years later, he failed to be reelected. At 41, his four-year-old son died. At 45, he ran for Senate and lost. At 47, he failed as the vice presidential candidate. At 49, he ran for Senate again and lost. At 51, he was elected President of the United States. His name, Abraham Lincoln, a man many consider to be the greatest leader our country ever had. None of these events prior to his presidency were pleasant trials to suffer, but they all worked together for good in the end. I guess I would venture to say that Abraham Lincoln had not, if he had not suffered these things, then the Emancipation Proclamation would never have been written. You know, sometimes it is through blood and sweat and tears that's when we begin to appreciate all the goodness of Jesus Christ, all of his many blessings, all of his many favors. You know, anything that's worth having is worth fighting for. And that is what our salvation is all about. We got to hold on because Jesus is worth fighting for. We can't give up. We can't give in. We can't put our hands away from the plow and look back. It costs too much. Jesus gave his own blood, sweat, and tears. So why? So that light could shine. The trials of this life that we suffer, they hurt. We don't like them. But we know that in the end, it's going to be worth it. Praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm going to paraphrase those verses 16 through 18. It tells us to be joyful always, to always stay prayerful, and to always give thanks in every circumstance, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. You know, no one said to be thankful if somebody got beat up. You be thankful because the Lord spared their life. You be thankful because God is going to do something in the midst of whatever their problem is. Sometimes we ask God, why did this happen? Lord, why did you not pay attention to me? Lord, why did you allow me to lose my job? Lord, why did you allow me to lose my home? Why, God, why? And the Lord, with his love and his grace and his favor and mercy, says, I know something you don't. You're going to come through this more victorious. You're going to have a testimony, hallelujah, that nothing but being tried in the fire could bring. All you got to do is think about the three Hebrew boys. They were tried in the fire. You know what they said before they went into that fire? They said, we know our God can deliver us, but if he doesn't, we still trust him. And they stepped in there because they refused to bow down to anybody other than God. Sometimes our problems will make us bow down as far as buckle at the knees. But our heart doesn't have to bow. Our heart can say, Lord, I will praise you. Lord, I will lift you up. Lord, no matter what, even though I can't see past today, even though it looks cloudy ahead, I am going to praise you. God inhabits the praises of his people. Do you know Satan can't do nothing with a person that praises the Lord? When we praise God, we force the enemy out. When we praise the Lord, when we dare to claim what the promises of the Word of God says, he can't discourage us. We won't lose heart. No matter what, we know we live in a fallen world. We know that eventually we will die. Our loved ones will pass away. It's not a pleasant thought. No one wants to lose a loved one, a friend. But you know what? Those of us that love Jesus Christ, we know this isn't the end. This place is not our home. Many people lost their homes in tornadoes and floods. But I believe that through it all, somebody gave God glory because God was able to take the shambles of their life and do a mighty work. You see, sometimes we don't give God attention until we suffer problems. Sometimes we won't even call on the name of the Lord until we're in trouble. And then the Lord will use those moments to direct our attention towards him because he loves us so much and he doesn't want us lost and he wants us on that right road. And we got to be able to have that testimony. You see, you got to be able to tell somebody else what God has done for me. He will do it for you. It's no secret what the master can do. If he did it once, he can do it 1,000 times over. He took care of you. You can tell somebody he'll take care of you too. Praise be to God. To them that love the Lord, all of us that put our trust in the Lord, all of us that put our hope and confidence in the Lord, have you ever noticed that there always seems to be a catch to everything? You know that fine print? You better know before signing that contract. If there were any catches to this verse that I just said, then this is what the catch would be. To them that love the Lord. To them that love the Lord. I mean love the Lord. not just in lip service, but love the Lord. What does that mean for you and I? If you love the Lord, no bad will befall you? No. If you love the Lord, all things are going to be good? No. The Lord reigns on the just and unjust. The Lord's sun shines on the just and the unjust. We are not immune from problems just because we say we love the Lord. We are going to suffer in this life. Be of good cheer, Christ said, I have overcome the world. You see, this one verse should not be our hope in all, should be our hope in all situations. Romans 8:28 lets us know that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You see, to them that love God's afflictions are a blessing. To them that love God, the suffering that we know is a blessing. God is pruning us. He's cutting off those dead branches. He's cutting off things that won't take shape for him so that we can get deeper roots in him as he shapes and molds and makes us. In Acts chapter 5, verses 40 through 42, they called the apostles in and had them flogged, talking about being whipped. Being whipped. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They were beaten, battered, and bruised for the name of Jesus. For many, that would be a terrifying thought. For many, they would denounce the name of Jesus. But, the price was not bigger than Jesus that they had to pay. They knew that being flogged for Jesus was their reasonable service. Our trials. These are testimonies that we truly love God. This is what it's all talking about. Do you want to gauge love as, oh, happy day all day long? Long as the Lord keeps the sun shining and the raisins coming, everything is great, then I'm happy with the Lord. But the minute that the Lord doesn't do something the way I want him to do it, when I want him to do it, and how I want him to do it, then I'm going to fall out with God. Then we got to go back to that mirror, and we got to reevaluate ourselves if we truly did make that commitment that we said we made. Because I'm going to tell you something, saints, that love is going to be tested. That love that we say we have for Christ, it's going to be tried. You are not going to be loved by everyone. You are not going to be liked. You are going to be mistreated. But you are in good company because we are not above the master. The apostles left the Sanhedrin court rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Jesus. Now, in our country today, we do get to be under a lot. We don't have spiritual oppression as other countries do that don't recognize Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. But we do have a lot of cynicism. We have a lot of scoffers and mockers. And sometimes that's just enough for people to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, to be ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. So, therefore, we can't be ashamed. We can't be ashamed to hold up that light. We can't be ashamed to stand up for right. You know, if somebody says, that's my body, and I can do with it what I want to do with it, yes, God does give us a choice to do, but we got to know there's consequences to those things. There are diseases out there. People are aborting babies out there. That's murder. I know that they will call you an anti-person or anything like that, but either whatever the case may be, if God says don't do something and we do it, we are trying to deny the word of God. We got to stand up for what God says for us to do. You're not going to be popular, but you know what? God's people are peculiar, and I guarantee you that some of those people that are there being naysayers and scoffers, somebody may even be listening to you. Somebody may even be thinking twice. They may even, the conviction of the Lord will start resting upon their hearts. They will start, you can tell them, they tell you, I was born gay. And you can tell them, well, you can be born again in Jesus Christ. And you can take on the nature of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Because God would that all souls would come to repentance. You see, when we trust in God, when we love Him, we can rejoice in our sufferings knowing that having faith in God is going to work for the good according to His purpose, not our purpose, saints. It's all about His purpose. It's all about His plan. What is His plan? What is His plan? You know, somebody probably would have thought to themselves, that was pretty harsh, God allowing Abraham Lincoln to go through that. That may seem inhumane. Then you got to go to Job. So some people, they just can't believe it. But Job said, you know what, I heard of the good things, but now I got to see with my own eyes. You see, his suffering that he had in his life and in his body, he got to know God in a better way, in a closer way. That's what these things do for us. That's what saying, for God I live and for God I die. We're talking about dying to this flesh, dying to our desires, dying to having it our way, but having it Jesus' way. We will get to know God in a perfect light. We will get to know that love that God had for us, has and still does have for us, He will put in our hearts, and we'll get to see Him most magnificently. You know, we know that we all have, God has a plan for us. All those that are true Christians, that really understand this message of God, God has a plan for us. And we need to know that the one that is living the life, not just talking about it, you're not just saying it, doing lip service. There's a lot of people that know how to quote a lot of scriptures, and I think that's good to be able to know the Bible. But it does no good if you're not living it, and it does no good if you don't believe it. You know, you're just regurgitating a lot of scriptures. But the one who is seeking after God's own heart, that is when you are putting love into action. The one who the Holy Spirit has drawn, and this individual has accepted the Lord as his Savior, you know what life is. You know what Paul said? He had a conflict because he had died before. When from all the ones being beaten and stoned, he was left for dead, and he was allowed to go to heaven. And he said, you know, he would love to be back in the presence of the Lord, but for their benefit, he stayed behind to be with them because they needed him. You know, this is not the end. And I know some of you may say, but I want some blessings down here. I don't want to have to wait till I just get to heaven to get a blessing. You don't have to wait to heaven to get a blessing. But I want you to know this. Don't just serve the Lord so you can be fed and all your bills paid. Serve him because you love him. Don't be a fair weather saint. Don't be a good time Charlie. Don't be some of those people who just follow Jesus for the healing, follow Jesus for the feeding. Serve him faithfully out of a true and pure heart. I want to challenge you to face the trials of life, allowing God to prune you, to change you, to mold, shape, and develop you. I want you to seek the Lord daily in your personal way. Make sure that you are working to have an intimate relationship with God. You can't have an intimate relationship with God without getting into His Word and prayer. Love God with all your heart, with everything you know. That means love Him with your time. Love Him with your finances. Love Him with the material things that He's given you. Love Him with the talents. Love Him with the gifts. Love God and love others. Using these things for the upbuilding of God's kingdom shows that you love Him. And you will truly know that all things are working together for your good. So you rejoice in times of suffering. and I want you to be assured that your hope lies in God. Keep your eyes fixed on the eternal reward in heaven. If you feel in any way as though you have doubted God in your sufferings, or you just need to join us in prayer today, let go and let God be God. Let us go again before the throne of grace. Lord, I'm not what and where I want to be in you. As the potter, Lord, mold me and shape me after your will. If I am fighting you, take the fight out of my heart and allow me to surrender my will to your will. I need you, God, and I can't make it without you. With all my heart, Jesus, I want to be obedient to your Holy Spirit. Forgive me for being resistant to your will. And I claim a victorious life in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Back to you, Even.
Even, why did I hear music whenever Fanny spoke to us?
Oh, you may need to see a doctor.
No more psychopracticologist for me.
No, no. I mean an ENT.
Oh, no. I'm not messing with that stuff again. The last time I used that stuff to clear the weeds out of my yard, I blew up my house. I think that's what causes the ringing in my ears. Sometimes it can sound so pleasant, though.
Okay, that's it. I am taking you to an ENT doctor right now.
No, let me go. Go, let me go. Help. I want to blow up again. Help. I like the bells ringing in my ears. Fanny, Faith, help.
Guys, Even, Odd, are you still there?
Well, their silence is a ringing endorsement of my story. This is Fanny Faith, signing off.
Now, that visit to the doctor wasn't that bad, was it?
No, I'm glad you were saying ENT and not TNT. I couldn't hear you well.
Yes, things are much better when you can hear me clearly.
You know what, Even? I guess bad things can work out for good. You took me to the doctor. I thought that was going to be a bad thing. But then I went, and the doctor gave me a lollipop, and it was good. Oh, taste and see that the lollipop is good.
What? Now, what are you snickering about?
Now that I can hear better, I can listen to Time with the Bishop on Sunday. You know, I can barely understand that man. All them fancy words and stuff. Maybe he needs to see my psychopracticologist.
You don't say that about the bishop.
Or we can take him to see the TNT.
You have been listening to the Monday Press. We love our TCB.
Always imitated, never duplicated. Jesus Christ and the TCB Network.
We love our TCB. The Tabernacle Christian Broadcast Network. TCB.
TCB. Yeah.
Blog Talk Radio.
The Tabernacle presents a Beyond the Podium production, The Monday Press. Blessed Monday evening, brothers and sisters in the Lord. The first workday of the week for most is over. Perhaps the alarm didn't ring loud enough. The coffee didn't percolate fast enough. The traffic was backed up. Road rage was on the street. But another Monday workday is O-V-E-R, over. Now it's time for another dose of the Holy Ghost. Keep on pressing towards that prize in Christ. Press towards that mark. Resist the devil and press.
the Monday Press.
Welcome, listeners, to the Monday Press, where we want to impress upon you the rejuvenating power of the Holy Ghost after this first day of the work week. Many questions may exist regarding fasting and prayer. Fasting is to abstain from all or some kinds of food or drink, especially as a religious observation. Jesus also fasted and modeled for us the lowliness of spirit and contrite heart to align our will with God's will for us. Often when one fasts, the Holy Ghost is able to speak to the prepared temple of our souls, as well as prepares that same temple to receive the word, direction, and will of God. Jesus instructs us how to fast by saying in Matthew 6, beginning at the 16th verse through the 26th verse. Noticeably, Jesus instructs us in the very first verse in this series, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others." Today, our dysfunctional Monday Press reporters try to model fasting in their own unique and incorrect ways as they unexpectedly meet up at the Whammo restaurant. Today's message by Bishop and First Lady is simply entitled, Fasting.
Who is it already? Who's out there?
Hi, Eden. Just came by to see if you're going to have lunch with me today.
Oh, sure. Who's paying?
Who's paying? Why, you, of course. Oh, come on. I'm so hungry. Looking for a job is hard work.
So, you're going to have to work harder.
Eden, why are you looking so sad? Are you about to cry?
Oh, of course I'm not going to cry. I'm fasting.
What? Fasting, even?
Don't you even know what fasting is?
I don't know fasting, but I do know even.
Okay, let's take a walk and I'll tell you all about it. You see, fasting is when you stop eating so you can convince God that you're serious about what you're asking Him for.
Oh, I see. Well, then I fast all the time, unless I'm with my good friend Eden.
Oh, no, no. That's not what you call fasting. Just because you don't have money to buy a hamburger. Anyway, I don't want to sit and just watch you eat.
You've got to come with me, Eden. You gotta.
Why? To pay?
Not just that, Eden. But man shall not eat bread alone. Isn't that what the good book says?
Well, perhaps you're right. I'll tell you what. I will not eat anything because I'm fasting, and that will prove that I am serious about fasting. Hey, here's a good place. Let's go inside and sit down and eat at the Whammo's Diner.
Woohoo! Whammo!
Hey, here's a good table. Slide in there. Let's have a seat.
Hi, I'm Lily. I'll be your server, because you don't want that other person over there. That's Commandra. She is so slow.
That's not my name!
She must be hungry, too. She's eating right from the cake display. Ooh.
Waitress, I'll have nothing. I'm fasting.
Oh, you poor soul. Is that why you was looking so sad and homely walking in here?
Yes. My head hurts, my stomach aches, and I'm so hungry.
Well, you hang in there, because you got a blessing coming. But I would like a large Whammo burger, fries, one apple pie a la mode, one cheese pizza with ground beef, salami, bologna, jalapenos, pepperoni, extra cheese, all on a special cheesy crust. No anchovies, please.
Are you sure?
Oh, okay. Well, if you insist, I will have those anchovies Thanksgiving and one extra large Whammo malted shake.
Why, I ought to Whammo shake you.
Remember, even God is watching you. He's everywhere. Ooh, look, even there's Fanny Faith.
Don't look. Maybe she won't see us. I don't want her to eat with us.
You're not eating, Even, so she can eat with me.
Hi, Odd. Even.
Fanny, he looks so sad because he's fasting today.
I guess that's the right thing to do since nothing else can help.
Oh, you mean Jenny Cake. You're so funny, Fanny.
Why, I'm not the only one who can lose a few inches around here.
Yes. I am taller than you, aren't I?
Oh, look, Fanny, look at Ethan's face. His fast must not be working. He's really getting mad.
That's just how greedy people look when they get hungry, Odd. Nothing can cure his insatiable appetite, not even feeding him. They just keep eating and eating and eating, don't they? Right, Ethan?
That's it. That's it. I'm going to order a pizza.
Only one?
You must mean a fast pizza, right, Ethan?
Welcome back, everyone, to the New Monday Press. Although somewhat misguided in their thinking about fasting, one cannot help but applaud the efforts that Ethan made in the light of harsh criticism and ultimate support of his sidekick, Odd. The humor in the skit is apparent, as many of us have faced the temptations of the enemy when we desire to consecrate ourselves before God. The key to all things in Christ is not to give up, get discouraged, or lose your joy. Although we can self-inflict challenges in our own lives because of free will, never forget there is an enemy of our soul waiting to pounce and roaring around, seeking an opportunity to distract you from God's will in your life. Now let's pray. And after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." We have seen the prophets and teachers of Antioch fasting in Acts 13. And we have heard Jesus teach us that when the bridegroom, namely himself, is taken out of this world, then the attendants of the bridegroom, namely we, his disciples, will fast. And today we get to see Jesus, the Son of God, himself fasting. We have two goals for this message. One is that we know Jesus better. Previously in the scriptures, we heard him make the amazing claim that the bridegroom had come. God had called himself the bridegroom and husband of Israel in the Old Testament. Now here was Jesus saying, "The bridegroom is here." Today in this text, we see Jesus as the representative and source of a new Israel, as a kind of new Joshua, preparing to take his people over into the promised land. But first, he is tested in the wilderness. Besides getting to know Jesus better, the second goal is we should understand fasting better and see more deeply into its spiritual value for us individually and as a church at large. It should give us pause, I think, to realize that the Son of God began his life's ministry with a 40-day fast. We should stop and think about this. We should ask, "What about me, Lord? Can I face the incredible challenges to my Christian life without sharing in the fasting of Jesus?" Can we, as a Christian body, experience the fullness of Christ's power and blessing without humbly seeking the Lord through fasting? These are pivotal days at Bethlehem. There should be a stirring of hearts for what God is preparing us.
Recently, we at the Tabernacle experienced a fast for strength in Christ, patience, and a revival of spirit, and we got just that. Our cup should continue to overflow as Jesus kept his promises as always. Bishop?
Pastor L and I want to thank all of you at the Tabernacle and in the radio community who were perhaps fasting and praying for this ministry too. We want you to know that the enemy has been defeated, rebuked, and cast out of the hearts and minds of those seeking deliverance. Your prayers and unfailing encouragement keeps us going. We can use financial help for a couple of bands to pick up and deliver food to the women's and children's shelter here in Las Vegas. We still load our little PT cruiser up and get the job done, however. Thank the Lord. We also are in need of recording studio software and equipment to enhance our work for God throughout the world. But thanks to our Lord Jesus for that slowly and lowly five-year-old computer that keeps us on time, on task, and on a mission for God. I know these are nothing but the results of prayers being answered as little becomes much in the Master's hands. Our lease will be up in 2014, the month of June, at our current location. It sure would be nice to have a building capable to handle worship, a cafeteria for the downtrodden, as well as a recording studio where we can really produce and broadcast with more efficiency. One of our goals is to apply and obtain a nonprofit FM radio station license. Yes, nothing is impossible with God. Through the love and with the help of God's people, we can overcome all of these obstacles. So, we are happy in this work because you have prayed. What a privilege to serve. There are fresh breezes blowing, our sails are up, the sky is clearing, the Lord is aboard and tells us there is good man fishing not far out at sea. Our hearts are so hungry for a deeper work of God in our midst. A work that will see supernatural new birth taking place week in and week out through your anointed lives in these cities. This is why fasting is on the front burner. Charles Spurgeon, the London pastor from a century ago, said, "Our seasons of fasting and prayer at the Tabernacle have been high days indeed. Never has heaven's gate stood wider. Never have our hearts been nearer the central glory. My heart longs for us as a church to be nearer the central glory, to be so near the fire that we burn with the zeal of Jesus for his name and for this perishing world. So, let's look now at his fasting." Pastor L.
In the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verse 16, it says that after being baptized, Jesus came up out of the water, and then the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove, right? Now, the Holy Spirit had always been with Jesus. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. But this was a special anointing, saints, outpouring, or a baptism that would rest on Jesus for his three-year public ministry. He was baptized to identify with us in his submission to God's rule and God's righteousness. And the Holy Spirit came on him, as he does on us, to empower him and guide him in the huge demands of his ministry. As the Spirit comes upon Jesus, God the Father says in verse 17, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." One of the wonderful effects of these words is to assure Jesus and us
that the fire of misery and pain that Jesus was about to walk into was not owing to his Father's displeasure. This is especially important to see when you notice in the next verse, Matthew 4 and 1, what the Spirit's first act is in Jesus' ministry. It says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." The first act of the Spirit in Jesus' ministry is to lead him into the wilderness and to expose him to Satan's testings. Bishop?
Under the Spirit's leading, Jesus prepared himself to meet the devil by fasting. The Spirit of God willed that the Son of God be tested on his way into the ministry, and he willed that Jesus triumphed in this testing through fasting. Jesus triumphed over the great enemy of his soul through fasting. It seems to me that this story should shake us. I mean, here is Jesus standing on the threshold of the most important public ministry in the history of the world. On his obedience and righteousness hangs the salvation of the world. None will escape damnation without this ministry of obedience, suffering, and death, and resurrection. And God wills that, at the very outset, the ministry be threatened with destruction, namely, the temptations of Satan to abandon the path of lowliness and suffering and obedience. And of all the hundreds of things Jesus might have done to fight off this tremendous threat to salvation, he is led to fast. To fast. If Satan had succeeded in deterring Jesus from the path of humble, suffering obedience, there would be no salvation. We would still be in our sins and without hope. Therefore, we owe our salvation to the faithful fasting of Jesus. This is a remarkable tribute to fasting. Don't ride over this quickly. Think on it. Jesus began his ministry with fasting, and he triumphed over his enemy through fasting. Pastor L.
Now, to see the fuller meaning of this, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Every time Jesus responds to the three temptations of the devil in the wilderness, he quotes from the book of Deuteronomy. "Man shall not live by bread alone." That's found in Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3. "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, that is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 16. "And you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." That is Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 13. This is very significant, saints. Here is Jesus led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The wilderness. And to counter the temptation of Satan, Jesus quotes passages from Deuteronomy, all of which are spoken by Moses to the people of Israel about their time of testing in the wilderness. And we find this in Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, where it says that if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And verse 4 it says, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Now look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. And mark the parallels that you see between that situation in the wilderness and Jesus' situation in the wilderness. Moses says to the people, "You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness." Note, as Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, these 40 years, note as Jesus was there 40 years also, that he might humble you, testing you. Jesus was also tested in the wilderness, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And in verse 3 it says, "And he humbled you and let you be hungry." No, Jesus was made hungry by his fasting as well. "And fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord."
There are too many similarities between what is happening to Jesus here in the wilderness and what was happening to the people of Israel to think it is an accident. What does this mean? It means that God is now preparing to deliver his people, the new Israel, from the Egyptian bondage of sin into the promised land of forgiveness and righteousness and peace and joy and eternal life. To do this, he has sent a new Joshua. Joshua and Jesus are exactly the same word in Greek. Acts 7:45 says, this new Joshua stands as the head and representative of the whole people. On their behalf, he will now be led by God into the wilderness, and it's going to be 40 days to represent 40 years. He will be tested as Israel was tested, and he will hunger as Israel hungered. And if he triumphs, he and all his people go safely into the promised land. Now we can see the meaning of Jesus' fasting more clearly. It wasn't an arbitrary choice of something to do in the face of satanic temptation. It was a voluntary act of identification with the people of God in their wilderness deprivation and trial. Jesus was saying, in effect, I have been sent to lead the people of God out of the Egypt of sin into the promised land of salvation. To do this, I must be one with them. That is why I was born. Therefore, I will take on the testing that they experience. I will represent them in the wilderness and allow my heart to be probed with fasting to show where my allegiance is. And with the Spirit's help, I will triumph through this fasting, overcome the devil, and lead all who trust in to me into the promised land of eternal glory. In other words, Jesus' fasting is part of his testing, the way hunger was for the people of Israel in the wilderness. But that doesn't mean fasting wasn't a means of battling Satan, because fasting reveals where the heart is. And when the heart proves to love God more than bread, Satan does not have the foothold he would if our heart was in love with the earthly things like bread. The people of God are often called to go without the ordinary means of life. Fasting is a brief, voluntary experience of this deprivation to prove our hearts. When we experience this going without, the Lord reveals what is in our hearts, what we are controlled by. Richard Foster says in his chapter on fasting, more than any other single discipline, fasting reveals the things that controls us. This is a wonderful benefit to the true disciple who longs to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. We cover up what is inside us with food and other good things. But in fasting, these things surface. If pride controls us, it will be revealed almost immediately. David said, I humbled my soul with fasting. That's from Psalms chapter 69, verse 10. Anger, bitterness, jealousy, strife, and fear, if they are within us, they will surface during fasting. At first, we will rationalize that our anger is due to our hunger. Then we know that we are angry because the spirit of anger is within us. When we can rejoice in this knowledge because we know that healing is available through the power of Christ. What are we slaves to? What are our bottom line passions? Fasting is God's testing ground and healing ground. Will we murmur as the Israelites murmured when they had no bread? Will we leave the path of obedience and turn stones into bread? Or will we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? Fasting is a way of revealing to ourselves and confessing to God what is in our hearts. Bishop?
And the aim of fasting is that we come to rely less on food and more on God himself. That's the meaning of the words in Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every time we fast, we are saying with Jesus, not bread alone, but you, Lord. Not bread alone, but you, Lord. Let me show you quickly in closing why I think Jesus is saying that we should trust in God, not bread. It comes from the context of Deuteronomy 8:3, where Jesus gets this word in Matthew 4:4. God fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know that, note, he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He gave them manna, an utterly unheard of food falling from heaven. Why? So that they would learn to live on everything that comes from the mouth of God. Now, how does miraculous manna teach that? Because manna is one of the incredible ways God can, with a mere word, reveal himself and meet your needs when all else looks hopeless. Pastor L?
But watch what Satan does with that. Satan says to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, turn this stone to bread. In other words, do the manna thing. Make manna like you did in the wilderness. If the point of manna in the wilderness was to teach the people to expect miracles in distress, then treat yourself to some miracle bread and you will be obeying Scripture. And Jesus responds, you are so close and yet so far. You have always handled the Word of God that way, so subtle. You sound like you approve God's Word, but you turn every word against Him. The point is this, Satan. Don't trust in bread, not even miracle bread. Trust in God. Don't get your deepest satisfactions in life from food, not even God-wrought miracle food, but from God. Every word that comes out of the mouth of God reveals God, and it is this self-revelation that we feed on. This will last forever. This is eternal life. Be gone, Satan. God is my portion. I will not turn from his path and his fellowship, not even for miraculous manna. Bishop?
Friends, we invite you to let God prove your heart with fasting this week and remember the tabernacle during your time of consecration. See if God does not reveal some deep thing to you and give spiritual manna to you for spiritual food. Now let's join Pastor L with our closing prayer.
Dear God, it is no time like the present to come before you, O God, Lord, with a consecrated heart, Lord, willing to deny our flesh, Lord, of food, Lord, so that we can, Lord, be revealed of what we truly are on the inside, Jesus. Lord, we want you to take out everything that's not like you, Lord, and we want to be filled up with nothing but you, Lord. We want to decrease, Jesus, so you will increase more and more in our lives, Lord. If you find anything like anger, Lord, jealousy, Lord, oh God, coveting, Lord, oh God, whatever it is, Lord, Jesus, we want to take it out, Lord. We want to be found pleasing in your sight, Lord. If we must push our plate back, oh God, then we must push our plate back, oh Lord. Jesus, help us, Lord, to humble ourselves, Lord, so that, oh God, your Holy Spirit will be able to do its perfect work in our lives, Lord. And as we know that as we do these things, Lord, and, oh, God, as we, Lord, go for lack, Lord, we know that you will get the glory out of our life. As we lift you up in the name of Jesus, draw us closer to you, Lord, as never before. Draw us nearer to you, Lord. Give us that closer walk that we so crave, Lord. Let our souls hunger and thirst after your righteousness. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
From all of us here at the Tabernacle, this is Pastor Kreiner.
And this is Bishop Kreiner, reminding you to be on time, on task, and on a mission for God. Back to you, Even, Odd. Oh, boy, that pizza was really good. Too bad I have to go back to the studio.
Yes. Too bad you have to leave so fast.
Yeah, too bad Fanny Faith didn't leave any faster.
Ooh, she is so tall. She must have grown really fast.
You know, Odd, it really got to me when Fanny made those comments about food.
You mean fast food?
Any food. Look, I know I have an eating problem, but I'm working on it.
Even, I don't think you have an eating problem. You eat just fine to me.
You know, Odd, I am going to fast again tomorrow.
Even, why don't you fast today and let tomorrow take care of itself? Besides, I'll fast with you too, starting right now. I'm not hungry anyway.
That's a deal, Odd, my boy. You know, that time I fasted must have really worked out. I suddenly feel so much better.
Me too. It must be that message.
Amen.
Food addiction is characterized by an obsessive-compulsive relationship to food. Professionals address this with either a behavior therapy model or a food addiction model. If you are challenged with any eating disorder, please pray that the Lord will guide you to a health professional specializing in such ailments. Remember, although man may practice medicine, it's God that is the expert and makes it all work.
I love my TCB.
TCB on a mission for God.
Tabernacle Christian Broadcast, we're here for you. Tabernacle Christian Broadcast, praise God with you.
You're in the right place, TCB. Tabernacle Christian Broadcast.
TCB in the house, y'all.
Blog Talk Radio.
The Tabernacle presents a Beyond the Podium production, The Monday Press. Blessed Monday evening, brothers and sisters in the Lord. The first work day of the week for most is over. Perhaps the alarm didn't ring loud enough. The coffee didn't percolate fast enough. The traffic was backed up. Road rage was on the street. But another Monday work day is O-V-E-R, over. Now it's time for another dose of the Holy Ghost. Keep on pressing towards that prize in Christ. Press towards that mark. Resist the devil and press. The Monday Press. Welcome to a blessed Bible book memory lesson. The lesson was inspired by God and authored by teacher, evangelist and seminarian, superintendent of Holy Tabernacle Outreach Mission, Terry Kreiner. Most of you know how difficult it can be naming all the books in the Bible from memory. So today's lesson is designed to help you effortlessly recall all 66 books in the Bible. Superintendent uses humor, mnemonic devices, anecdotes, as well as takes some liberty with historical facts in order to make this a fun and exciting way to learn. We are tradesmen and women for Christ. In Matthew 4 and 19, Jesus called us to become fishers of men, our new trade. We must rely on God for spiritual insight. Can you see why it is important to know all of the spiritual tools of our trade? I am your announcer, Loretta Kreiner. Now,
Join Superintendent in today's blessed Bible book learning lesson. Learn thy biblical tool.
Okay, so I'm sitting at home wondering how I can enhance my life, my spiritual life, and I'm thinking, what can I do? And the Lord reminded me that I had not remembered all of the books of the Bible in sequence. So before I can really think about this, you know, get my mind wrapped around this whole concept of remembering all 66 books of the Bible, the Lord began to teach me and instruct me only as he can do. So I'm sitting there, and all of these strategies I recalled from teaching days start really playing themselves in my mind. And he reminded me that children oftentimes would learn through humor and games. And I thought about that, and still these voices are ringing in my ears, you know, and the voice is telling me how to remember the books of the Bible. Now, I'm not like many people, I would imagine. I've had particular difficulty remembering these books. But I've got to tell you, the Lord taught me how to recall all of the books, and I'm going to share that with you today. Now, as my disclaimer, I've got to tell you, I am going to take some liberty with historical facts. So this would be considered historical fiction. Also, I'm going to use some anecdote, and I'm going to use some mnemonic devices. And some of you may remember what mnemonic devices are. I'll explain later when we get to that section. So the first thing we're going to use is a story form. And I want you to learn the story more than just try to remember the books. So the idea, once again, is to learn or remember the story. Okay, so we start with Genesis. Genesis is the beginning. Genesis reminds us of the garden. Well, Adam and Eve were in the garden. So Genesis is the beginning. Adam and Eve were in the garden, but they messed up. So they had to exodus the garden. Congratulations, you just learned your first two books, Genesis and Exodus. Very good. So, continuing our story, they turned to God, Adam and Eve, turned to God and begged the Lord, saying, "Let us stay." But they were so upset that it came out, "Leviticus, stay." But the Lord had already given them numbers of chances. So being totally upset with God's response, they pouted and stomped in their own language, saying, "Deuteronomy," which means in today's text language, "O."
Got to have my TCB. God bless.
TCB in the house, y'all.
Join me on TCB, Tabernacle Christian Broadcasting, the
was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious is that grace appear. The hour I first believed, through
for listening to Tabernacle Christian Broadcasting. Good night.
I love my TCB.